Hello, I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report, which is not only on the Charisma Podcast Network, but now on YouTube. In fact, if you haven't, subscribe and be sure to share this with others. Well, today I'm going to talk about something very important. It's our upcoming elections. And I realize that people will see this and hear this long after the election. But what we're going to talk about today is timeless in the sense that we as Americans and we as Christians need to be involved in the political process. Now, I've been covering the Christian community, specifically the charismatic Pentecostal wing of the Christian community, for a long time. And over time, I've noticed that a lot of Christians are very passive when it comes to politics, because politics is nasty. And a lot of people think they should do things in the spiritual realm, which I believe entirely. But, you know, it's like the little story they tell about the little boy that took a messy lot full of debris and cleaned it up and planted a nice little garden. And a preacher came by and thought he'd compliment the young boy. And he said, "Boy, look what God has done with your garden, you know, with all these plants and so forth." And the little boy said, "Yeah, and you should have seen what God did when he had it all to himself." You know, that's a silly little joke that you've heard before, I'm sure. You know, we have to pray and believe God as if it's entirely up to him. We have to work as if it's entirely up to us. There's a lot of passivity in the Christian community, sadly. In fact, as things seem to be getting worse and worse, the other side is more and more vocal. They even put down traditional values, especially Christian values. We even have a term for it. It's called cancel culture. And while other people are canceled as well, people have been trying to cancel Christianity since the Roman Empire. But of course, the Roman Empire is long gone and the Church of Jesus Christ is still here and it's strong. But do you know what? Being a Christian just by itself does not improve things. I mean, look at the church in China, which is very fervent, it's fast growing. It's about 10% of the population of China, but the Christians do not influence the Communist Party. The Communist Party would have to be overthrown and more democratic government would have to be put in place with a constitution like we have. I mean, that's just one result, that is only one example of many that I could give. And really, it's the people in political power and the people that they employ, the bureaucrats, Donald Trump would call it the deep state, they're the ones who make the difference. Let's look at the issue of abortion. How many people have been praying and working for the overturn of Roe v. Wade? A lot, over almost 50 years. But it took a political candidate, Donald Trump, who campaigned and said that if he was elected, he would appoint Supreme Court justices who read the Constitution as it's supposed to be read. And the Constitution has no right to abortion. It doesn't exist. And it was just people who sort of made up things and based on previous court decisions and so on and so forth. And the court did not really ban abortion. What it did, it overturned Roe v. Wade, and it went back to the states where it was before and where it should have been decided all along. So here you have something that was changed because of an election in 2016. There are many other examples. Now we have a midterm, and as you know, things are very bad in our country. And it seems to me that the Democrats who are in power in both houses of Congress and also in the White House, they seem to mess up everything they touch. I mean, look at the economy, which was booming under Trump. Now it's in a free fall, in a manner of speaking. There are economists who are saying that we're right on the edge of an actual recession. Look at inflation. Inflation was 1-point-something% when Biden came into office. And now, you know, you hear different numbers, but it's probably 8 or 9%. And there are certain parts of the economy where it's even higher in terms of rent and gasoline and some other things that we take for granted. Look what's happening in our education system. Look what's happening with our southern border. There are so many issues that are in the wrong direction. Look what's happening with religious liberty. We believe in the First Amendment, which gives us freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of assembly. Those are our basic freedoms, and they're eroding before our eyes. Not only that, but the people in power are using the levers of government to actually oppose and persecute those who they don't agree with. I mean, look what's happened with people who support Donald Trump. Several have been arrested for fairly minor things or even trumped up charges, whether it's Roger Stone or Steve Bannon. On the other side, Hillary Clinton was never prosecuted for destroying 30,000 emails that were subpoenaed. If you or I had an email subpoenaed and we destroyed one, we would be violating the law and subject to prosecution. Look at what's happened with Hunter Biden. I mean, it's almost unbelievable all the things he's accused of. Now, of course, he, like anyone else, deserves to have his day in court. And we hope that that happens. But I mean, they're looking the other way. Look at the firebombings of the abortion by the abortionists of some of the clinics that actually help women avoid abortion. I didn't look up the number right before I came on the air, but I think it's in the area of 50 or 60. Not one arrest has been made. Yet some people who are praying outside an abortion clinic were arrested on some kind of trespass law. I mean, I'm just kind of giving you an overview. I'm skimming over it, but I'm trying to make the point that elections are important. Now, in my own area, I get involved. I send out recommendations on who I think should be elected to the state house, of course, to Congress. We have a gubernatorial election here in Florida with Governor Ron DeSantis running for re-election. And I encourage people to vote. And what I said when I said my letter is, of course, I gave the recommendation, but I said, if in doubt, in the current political environment, it is my opinion that the worst Republican, and there are a lot of Republicans that are less than perfect. In fact, we call them RINOs, which stands for Republican in name only. They run as a Republican, but they govern as a liberal Democrat. That's a different discussion for a different day. But I believe that the worst Republican is better than the best Democrat. That's my opinion as someone who is a registered Democrat for 20 years. But the Democratic Party is very different than when I registered to vote in the 70s. In fact, people like John Kennedy, I don't even think they would recognize the Democratic Party now. And if nothing more, that a candidate would decide to be a Democrat and to identify with that says something about that person. And even with the RINOs, at least they want to identify with some of the conservative values, whether it's monetary policy or spending or some of those things. So if in doubt, you need to just vote Republican. We have no choice. Now in the primaries, it's somewhat different. There's a lot of different people running. Some are stronger than others. But when it comes down to a general election like we have with the midterms, there are two people on the ballot and one of them will be put in, period. And we have to go to vote. And I've read the statistics that there's an awful lot of Americans, including a lot of people in the church, who never bother to register. I will say that it's hard for me to understand. When I was in my late teens, they were lowering the voting age from 21 down to 18. They did it in stages over several years. And it happened for me when I was 19. When I was 19, second or third of January, the very first day that I was able to register to vote, I went to the courthouse in Alachua County, Florida. I was a student at the University of Florida at the time, and I registered to vote. And I have voted in every single election but one. It was a minor runoff on a Thursday, and it ruined my perfect voting record. And I vote because I think it's important, not so that I have bragging rights. But it's hard for me to understand why people won't register and why they don't vote. But even a lot of people that are registered never bother to go to the polls. And nowadays, they make it very easy. Here in Florida, we have early voting, which they do in a lot of states. They let you vote absentee. I've only voted absentee once or twice. One of them was the 2000 election when I was literally flying to Africa to a Reinhard Bonnke crusade on election day. I hated to miss the election. In fact, usually I sit up and watch the returns, and I was thinking, oh, I won't be able to watch the returns. Well, if you remember in 2000, the election wasn't decided until early December. Remember the famous recount? And it was decided by the vote here in Florida. 537 votes made George W. Bush president. And I can promise you that my wife, Joy, and I were two of those 537 votes. Our votes are very important. They just are. Now, I'm a registered Republican now. I've never given any money to either the Democrats or the Republicans. Instead, I donate to candidates that I believe in. Even this week, I donated to a pastor here in our area. His name is Doug Bankston. I've known him since the mid-2000s. And he was always active in getting people to vote and speaking out on the different issues. I know he went to Tallahassee a couple of times to speak up on some issues. He later ran for city council in his city. He lives in Apopka, Florida, if you know where that is. And now he's running for the Florida House of Representatives. I happen to live in his district. And I was just so glad that he won the Republican primary, and now he's on the ballot. I have noticed that a lot of Christians don't seem to be that excited about other Christians that are running. In fact, it makes it hard for some of the Christians who run because they don't really get the support that other special interests give. And of course, there's other qualifications too. Just because you've accepted Christ doesn't mean that you have the ability to govern. But do you know what? When somebody sticks out their neck and wants to run, and when they want to stand up for traditional values, conservative values, even biblical values, I think we need to encourage them. And we need to encourage more people to run for election. Well, today I'm happy to be able to interview someone who has done this. He's a businessman from Mobile, Alabama, very successful. And people encouraged him to run, and he did run for mayor of Mobile. And recently I got acquainted with him. I invited him to be on the podcast because I told him, I said, on the run-up to the midterms, I'm going to do what I can to try to get out the vote. Would you come on my podcast and let's talk about it? Let's talk about your experience, what you've experienced as mayor of Mobile, which is a great city in the South. It's not as famous as some others, but it's a wonderful city. And I'm just so proud of Mayor Sandy Stimson, who is my guest today. And he's going to, after this little break, he's going to come back and we're going to talk about some of these issues. And you'll learn from his experience. And also, we will talk about the importance of going out and voting. As I said earlier, a lot of people will listen to this later. But you know what? We're going to have another election in 2 years, and then 2 years after that. And of course, there's some elections that fall in between. And it's important every single time to exercise the right that we have as American citizens to cast a vote. And we need to cast a vote for people who share our values, whether they're biblical values and all that means, or whether it's just our values in terms of how money is spent, or how we secure our borders, or even the attitude about getting into needless wars. The Republican Party is as bad as the Democrats about wanting to have wars everywhere. And, you know, again, that's a discussion for another day, and maybe I'll deal with it on another edition of the Strang Report. But I want to give plenty of time for my interview with Mayor Sandy Stimson. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, welcome back and welcome to my guest, Mayor Sandy Stimson of Mobile, Alabama. Thank you for taking time to talk over these very important issues. So why don't we start a little bit with your background? You are a businessman and you felt you should get involved, and now you've been mayor for a number of years and you have three more years in your term. So talk to me about the importance of being involved in our political system, and especially those of us who believe the Bible, who believe in Jesus, our responsibility as believers.
Yeah. So I appreciate you teeing it up that way, Stephen. I mean, I really think that my pathway to being the mayor started with the prayer of a lot of ladies and people in the city of Mobile praying for a God-fearing leader, you know, to step up into the political arena. I have to say that I had a very unfavorable view of elected officials just because of numerous reasons. And so I did everything I could to avoid being, getting in the political arena. But one day somebody asked me after making a speech, they said, "When are you running for governor?" And I said, "I'm not running for anything." And then they turned to my wife and said, "When is he running for governor?" And she said, "I don't know, but he will be married to his second wife when he does." But anyway, that caused us to have really serious conversations about why do people keep asking me to run for political office? And I really felt like that was God sending me a message. And one day I woke up and it dawned on me that I really didn't want to get to heaven and God say, "Sandy, I kept sending you messages. You know, why didn't you listen to me?" And so it was with that, I guess, that foundational thought that I started thinking about, you know, being in Washington, D.C., being in the state capitol. But I realized that if I was going to subject my family to the things that happened in the political arena, that I was going to fight for my city and for my core values and my beliefs, knowing that we could do a better job, in my opinion, of uniting the city than what had previously been done.
Well, I was telling you before we came on camera that a friend of mine, a pastor here, who's actually running for the Florida House, I've known that he was always one of those pastors that would encourage people to go out and vote. And whenever we would have an issue come up in our area, he was always there. Well, he ran for a city council and won, and now he's running for the state house. But I have been shocked at how dirty his campaign is.
Yeah.
He wrote a little book about how the husband ought to be a good husband and love his wife and be a good example of the family. And there are people who are anti-traditional who use that to club him to say that he was anti-women. In fact, he and I talked about it because I'm a publisher. I did not publish his book. I said, "Forget it." I said, "Just tell him you're saying what the Bible says and leave it." And finally it went away, but he was all upset. You know, I'm upset that there are people in our area that have such a low view. He's a pastor. What should he say?
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad that he and others are running for office, because it seems to me that there are so many interest groups now and people are running that have very, very different views than what the Bible says. You know, there's always been a battle between good and evil. I mean, the Bible talks about that. And even in the South, where we tend to be a little bit more traditional, there was a lot of hypocrisy. People would say they were Christians, but acted like anything but. But now there are people that are hostile to the gospel. Has that affected you at all in your role as mayor?
So really, let me say the society we find ourselves in is there, you know, paid political consultants for everybody. And everybody in that business knows negativity resonates with voters. And so early in our campaign, we said, no matter how I'm attacked, that we're going to stay on the high road. Because that when you start attacking others, that's a slippery slope, you know, that you don't know where it's going to end up. And so I think there is a certain amount of respect that is that falls upon you if you are not, if you don't embrace that attack mode and try to destroy someone's character. And so I can't tell you how, let's say, violently I was attacked and how things people said were wrong. But again, we just refused to even rebut them. We just kept talking about what we were going to do. I was going to be the mayor of all the citizens of Mobile, and that we were going to unite this city because that's what it was going to take to fix the things that were broken. And so I look at some of the challenges that exist in the church today, And, you know, I can't fix them as the mayor. You can't fix them, you know, as a publisher or writer. And so what I have found and what I believe to be the truth, now I say this, there are a lot of great things going on in the city of Mobile. For people that don't know anything about the city of Mobile, we're a city of about 190,000 people, but we're the only city in North America that builds commercial aircraft and warships. I mean, it's a huge advanced manufacturing community and a lot of great things going here. But our success, in my opinion, is based on people that are praying for the success of this city and praying for our leaders and praying for even the differences that we have with those that we don't philosophically agree with. But there are 17 people that have agreed to pay every single day specifically for the people in my administration and for the things that we're trying to do. Now, when I say the things that we've tried to do, I call it a war room that has stuff all over the walls about what are we trying to get accomplished. But above all of that, it says, what is God's will? All of these things on the wall, this is our will, but what is God's will? And so, you know, as we do that, to me, knowing that we're going to be attacked because you're willing to step out and talk about that, because I don't mind talking about my faith and about God and about Jesus, you know, from a pulpit in the city. But I know that I'm being attacked for it from a spiritual standpoint, as well as just in the flesh. But with the people praying, and it's a whole lot more than 17, okay, I just feel that that's what it's going to take to change things. It changed things in this country, and it's through the power of prayer. And I think that's where we are.
Well, we're recording this not long before the midterm election in 2022. Of course, it'll be online for a long time, but I'm doing what I can to try to get out the vote. But whether it's this election or the one in 2 years or the one in 4 years, I mean, and there's always elections in between, you know, in some ways the principles are the same. We have a right as Americans to exercise our right to vote. Why do you think that so many people never even bother to register? And of those, a surprisingly large number don't bother to go to the polls?
So I would, a belief I have is that we learn a lot of things from our parents. And as families have broken apart, you know, and previous generations and all, and you've lost maybe role models, or you've lost that person that mentors you and explains the significance of it. But there's also this belief that my vote doesn't count. But you and I both know there are so many elections where the margin is so slim and one vote does make a difference. And so, you know, my encouragement is that you do need to go vote. Keep in mind that I'm a mayor that ran from a nonpartisan standpoint, simply because in Mobile, Alabama, it is a nonpartisan mayoral race. But we are a blue city. Everybody knew that I was a Republican. But because people wanted change and they thought that we could deliver things that would benefit all the citizens, even some of those that that could have gone to vote, they voted, but they didn't go to the polls. But my point in saying that is, you can make a difference and you should go vote. And I hope that people realize, I had a congressman that's a good friend of mine. This may sound a little melodramatic, but he said, this may be the last real election where we can cast our vote and know that it's going to be properly counted. And, you know, so my encouragement is don't sit back and say, I wish I had done this.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, thankfully, there are people that are concerned about that who are running. And so we need to be sure to vote them in. So some of these things can be changed. But at some point, it can get too far, as we've seen in other countries. And who would have thought that we would get to this point in America? And, you know, you talk about vote counting. I remember the 2000 election where it came down here in Florida, where I live. And it was 537 votes made all the difference. And guess what? Mine was one of those 237 votes. And this may sound a little humorous, but I have a friend that I actually had known since he was a teenager. Now he's in his 40s, and he ran for city council in a nearby city. And I wanted to help him. And he said, well, you could put in a good word with your staff. Well, you can only vote if you live in that district. And I found out I had three staff who lived in that district. And I went by and I said, look, I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I've known this man. He's a good man. And, you know, you need to consider voting for him. On election night, he won by three votes. We laughed. I told him, in fact, when I called him, I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't do more. I only had three staff. And they did tell me later they all voted for him. And, you know, you just never know what difference you can make.
That's absolutely right. But I do it, my encouragement, other than going to vote, is that your prayers can change what people do. And it's through whether you're praying for them to have the scales removed from their eyes or to have ears to hear, or God to change their heart to make them recognize that they have a responsibility. You know, we have to me, it's a responsibility to go vote. And so I'm very hopeful that people will, pay attention and do that. But everybody seems to be a little too busy and worried about other things right now.
Well, as we wrap this up, I think there's something that you could share that would be very important for my viewers. And that is encourage people to get involved. You mentioned your own hesitancy. And there are a lot of people that feel like that. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV and see how politicians are treated by their opponents, by the press, and by others to, you know, if you want to have a nice, quiet life, jumping into politics is not the way to do it. But talk about the reasons, because people can get involved. I mean, there are city council positions. Somebody just asked me today who they should vote for the St. John's Water Management District. Yeah. That's elected down here in Florida. You know, there's all kinds of levels that you can get involved with. And of course, the people who do get involved over time, they work their way up and run for higher office and someday for president. So just talk about what people should think about, how they could consider it, how they can pray about it.
Well, so I think that one of the biggest stumbling blocks is that when you decide, if it's on your heart, you think this is something you're doing, you start walking through that those mental gymnastics, you turn to a friend or you turn to a family member and they say, oh, don't do that. You know, you shouldn't do that. Well, I was very fortunate. I had three business partners, two of my first cousins and my brother. And so after having talked to my wife, I decided I needed to talk to my business partners. And my brother said, oh, you can't do that. We can't do without you. You know, it kind of went down that vein. And one of the partners, one of my cousins, who's kind of quiet, he just kind of sat there. But the other cousin said, Sandy, you've been training all your life to do this. You need to go run. Well, I couldn't decide whether he was trying to get rid of me out of the company or what. But my point is that all of us can make a difference. I mean, you really can, whether you're a school board member or whether you're on the city council or whether you are the chief of staff or whether you're an assistant, you know, to an elected official, you can make a difference. And it's when good people sit on the sideline and they're too busy going to the vacation home or going on, you know, doing other things that we all want to do and that I've done too, but you're just too busy to get engaged. And I can tell you that is a recipe for disaster when good folks don't get engaged. And so my hope is that the work that you do and that so many others do across this country, that it will inspire God-fearing people to realize there's a place for us in the arena and we've got to be there.
Well, thank you. And so very well said. And I'll just want to thank even the people of Mobile for running, for making a difference. Thank you for being a role model. I know some national Christian leaders who just hold you in the highest of esteem. In fact, that's how I got in touch with you, was I was just told about the great job you were doing down there in Alabama. And I was able to reach out to you. And thank you for taking time. I know you're very, very busy. So thank you very much for being with me today on my podcast. And I'll be back with the final word.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm back with a final thought. I want to thank you for listening or watching. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe. My viewership is going up. We've only been doing YouTube so long. And also, I'd be interested in your feedback. You know, there's been some requests, some suggestions that maybe we make this into a regular half-hour program, maybe even live, and I would appreciate your feedback. But I also want to just remind you again, to get out and vote. And if you're not registered, make it a point to register. Encourage your family, your friends, the people at church, the people at work. Use your influence. All of us have influence. All of us. We all have influence over others, and we need to get out the vote, and we need to stand strong. These are very, very difficult times. It looks like the midterms are going to swing toward the red side of the aisle, as they say. And, you know, to me, that's good. But you know what? Our problems are not going to end. And we have to continue to pray. We need to speak up. We need to make our voices heard. We all have something we can do. And at Charisma Magazine, with Charisma Media, with my podcast, everything I do, I'm trying to encourage the body of Christ to be bold. You know, we have some pretty significant numbers. The secular people would not really be aware of that, partly because we're so quiet. But our numbers are far higher than some of the people that are trying to tear down everything that America was built on. And again, I'm going to be dealing with some of that in the upcoming podcast on this YouTube channel and other ways, and dealing with how the Holy Spirit can empower us not only to survive, but to thrive, and how we can take authority in the spiritual realm by the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to make a real difference. Again, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And as always, share this with others. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com. Our Charisma Podcast Network listeners receive a 10% discount when you subscribe. Go to mycharismashop.com and use the promo code CPN.